Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Over the weekend, hi everybody, Kate Delaney. There are fires, there are floods, there's the coronavirus, and now this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, RBG, dead at the age of 87, and the world reacts throughout the entire weekend. It was announced on Friday. As far as the Supreme Court is concerned, the balance of the Supreme Court, the current president, President Trump, wants to fill the spot, has looked at numerous female judges, has said that he will pick a female to fill that vacancy left by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And the small list is one that's getting a lot of attention. Republicans, many of them say, let's go, let's roll, let's make this happen, and let's go through what you have to go through for the nominating process, and let's make it happen before the November 3rd election. Will this happen? Mitch McConnell says, yes, the Senate is going to vote this year on RBG's successor. That's going to happen. And, of course, Chuck Schumer, who couldn't be more opposite from Mitch McConnell, the Democrat, says that no high court pick was ever confirmed so close to an election day when we're talking about 40 days out. So this is what's being talked about over my fence and your fence, because I say that's what this show is about. So what is the buzz in the land? And this is absolutely the buzz in the land. Who's up next? Will it happen, or will there not be enough votes? If you look purely at the numbers, they would be there, but there's some senators, Republican senators, who are saying it's not right to push forward with that. So reshaping the judiciary, that's a possibility. He was the president rallying in several areas in Ohio and mourning the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a lot of people. He said that more than 200 judges have been appointed to the federal bench during his term. Some presidents never get any. They last a long time. And he said, we've had three, and it's blowing our minds, and this is another opportunity. This is another opportunity. He's considering five women for the lifetime appointment to the nation's highest court. So that's where we stand. He said he will announce his decision coming up soon. He's already met at the White House with one, Amy Coney Barrett, who's not only a front runner but a favorite of anti-abortion rights advocates. So that's a possibility, but not a definite. There's also another Supreme Court justice out of Florida, and there's a possibility that she could also be the one that's nominated. So it's interesting when you look at the process of what you have to go through, of the dilemma, of the pushback, of the will this happen, and you know, you think about Trump appointing Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, and he got to appoint Gorsuch in 2017 after McConnell refused in 2016 to hold a hearing on President Barack Obama's nominee to replace Scalia, saying it was an election year. Scalia died 237 days before the 2016 election. Of course, for Ginsburg, you know, 40-some days, 46 days before the 2020 election if you look at when she died. So anyway, Democrats are doing what they do. They're lining up against Trump nominating someone, and the president is pushing. I mean, this is his legacy. This is what is he's going to push for. Of course, that makes sense that he would do that. And we'll see if enough Republican senators join the opposition to thwart the nomination process, because that is already being talked about. Who will jump off the bandwagon so that this doesn't happen? And I'm going to say that I don't think there's going to be enough people that are going to jump. I think there's going to be enough to go through if the process can go through. If the process can go through, that is the key. But this is yet something else that has happened in 2020 that sways something in the land. So it's not just the mighty Mother Nature and the punches that she's throwing, this virus and the race for a vaccine, and then those saying they won't take the vaccine, but we don't even have a vaccine, so that not yet, not fully loaded, not yet. We don't have that at this point. It is interesting when you look at the themes and what you want in a president. You want the current president to continue, or you want an alternative, and the alternative is one. I talked to a Democratic strategist today about how confident they were, and of course, everyone tells you they're confident. It doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat, Independent, whoever. They're going to show you a little bit of their playbill, I call it, and then they're going to sell you the story and tell you why they think it's going to happen. I think there are going to be people that are going to be surprised by how their states move and what happens on Election Day. When you think of what a low number it is of people who vote in the first place in this country, it is shockingly, to me, embarrassing. As somebody who, and I've said this before, but if you've never listened to this show before in the 15 years that I've been on the air, because I covered the Mexican elections when I first started my career, and I saw what happened with the pre-Impenista parties and how they were stuffing the ballot boxes, and there were threats of guns that were around, and I couldn't believe it in a way, thinking, wow, am I just naive to what happens here? No. This is what happens. It's called you vote the way we want you to vote. You have no say in this. And to me, it was always such a privilege, even if I was unhappy with the results, it was such a privilege to be able to vote. I can't imagine not wanting to exercise that right. But yet, for whatever reason, far too many people don't let their voices be heard. Every vote counts. So on that note, coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Emily Dalton Smith from Facebook. She's the director of social impact product for Facebook. And in this position where millions of Americans find themselves unable to vote because they missed a registration deadline, they're saying don't miss the registration, or make sure you know how to register. National Voter Registration Day is a day dedicated to making sure everyone has the right to vote. So on Tuesday, September 22nd, volunteers and organizations from all over the country will hit the streets. She's up next.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme same hardship when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos, beat rising food prices, but above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Well, everybody who's been listening to this show knows that this is my absolute passion, voting, and making sure that you are registered to vote. And it just pains me when I see sometimes the voter numbers. So I am excited to be joined on this show by Emily Dalton Smith. She's the director of social impact product for Facebook. And like I said, people are unable to vote so often because they miss that registration deadline and they don't update their registration information. I just went through this with my husband. So you've got to make sure you know how to register. National Voter Registration Day is a day that's really dedicated, set up to make sure that all of us have the opportunity to vote. So, Emily, thanks for coming on and tell us what Facebook is doing.
Well, thank you for having me. I am thrilled to share that we are continuing our voting information campaign to help make sure people have what they need to register and vote through the Voting Information Center and Facebook and Instagram. We started this campaign earlier this year, and we've been providing information at the top of the Facebook, Instagram, and Messenger apps that has helped over 2.5 million people register so far this year. And this week is National Voter Registration Day. It is a day dedicated to making sure everyone has the opportunity to vote. And as you said, in order to do that, you have to register. So this week, we are providing information at the top of Facebook and Instagram and Messenger to help people remember to register and check your registration.
Yeah, exactly. And you said it at the top of Facebook and Instagram. And I think people understand that are listening to the show. But let's make it even clearer. It's really easy to find, isn't it?
It is. All you have to do is go to Facebook or Instagram, and you'll see information right at the top of the app about how you can register or check your registration. You know, a lot of people don't realize that their registration may have lapsed or something may have changed, and it's so quick and easy just to check and make sure that all of your information and your registration are up to date. And if you're already registered, you've checked already, this week is a great time to remind your friends and encourage them to make sure that you're registered. It's the first step to voting, and it's really simple and easy to do that right through Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and we don't have to talk about who you voted for, but do you remember the first time you voted and what that was like?
I did. I mean, I was overwhelmed. I was, you know, it was my first time voting, and I was just overwhelmed at the power and the responsibility and the great opportunity it is that we have to shape our communities and to elect people to represent us. And so, you know, I think a lot of people are worried this year about the coronavirus, but, you know, voting can be safe and simple. And, you know, I would encourage everybody to remember what an incredible opportunity it is to, and a great responsibility to vote, to get out there and vote this fall. There are lots of ways you can do that, whether you want to vote by mail, you want to vote early in person if that's available, or go on the day of. Just get out there and vote.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, last one, Emily. So, you know, you're continuing this work that you do, obviously, with state election authorities and other experts, because that's the key. You're in trying to ensure that the voting information center that you have set up on Facebook and Instagram does reflect the latest information in every state, right?
Of course. You know, this year, it's certainly the most complex election I've experienced. I think for many people, it's the most complex election of their lives. And so we want to make sure that everybody in the country has an easy one-stop shop to get authoritative information and the facts on state election officials across the country to make sure that information is in the Voting Information Center. And we're showing it at the top of newsfeed, at the top of the apps for Facebook, Instagram, and Messenger. And we just want to make sure that everybody knows they can go at any time to fb.com/voting info center or ig.com/voting info center and get all of that information about how to vote, how to register, how to volunteer as a poll worker if you're able to do that, how to get alerts from local election officials in your area and get information about how to vote so you can vote safely and confidently this fall.
I love it. Emily Dalton Smith, Director of Social Impact Product for Facebook. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Voting safely and confidently. Think about this. Throughout our history, presidential elections have been held during crises, like the one we have now, but different, right? Maybe more severe in a sense. Elections were held during the War of 1812, the Civil War, the Spanish Flu, so that would be similar, World War II. In two of those elections, the War of 1812 and the Civil War, the very existence of the United States was, of course, threatened. So the November election, I think, can be held safely, securely. We need the supplies and the resources to state election, to give to state election people. A delay in the election could trigger, I don't know, maybe a constitutional crisis? Could it jeopardize the peaceful transition of power in the United States? I mean, you know, I think the United States has been a place to envy for sometimes for other people in the world because of the way the Constitution's set up and the way we go from one administration to the next based on what the people say. I mean, in 1864, during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln was very determined to maintain free elections, even though he believed he might lose. He said, "We cannot have free government without elections." And if the rebellion could force us to forego or postpone a national election, it might fairly claim to have already conquered and ruined us. I love that. I mean, it's one of the best Lincolnisms ever. And I look forward to voting every single year, no matter what, especially in a presidential year. But even when we're talking about what's happening locally and how important it is, I think the more you get involved, the more your voice gets heard, the more it matters. I mean, honestly, it does. I don't understand why so often we feel like we're in some kind of a banana republic and the votes are malfunctioning, can't be done correctly, you know, whatever. And part of the problem is, part of the problem has been in the past, is aging voting machines. You know, there's something that they found, the Brennan Center found in 2018 that 41 states used voting systems that were at least a decade old. Come on, up date the machines. We should have the smoothest ways to vote. Boom, boom, boom. We shouldn't have some of the problems, the hacking, the things that are being talked about, the things that seem fishy, the things that take too long, whatever. We shouldn't have that happening in the United States of America. There should be a much easier, smoother way to make things happen. I mean, we're going to see a surge in the use of mail-in and provisional ballots because of the coronavirus. I mean, COVID-19 could dramatically shift voters toward mail balloting. That's not a shocker. And we've seen a climb in the use of mail-in ballots anyway over the past quarter of a century. And states have continued to expand the use of all-mail elections and by-mail absentee voting in recent years. So there are certainly voter-friendly options. Voter-friendly options. I mean, and that's what you're looking for, right? Oh, please. We don't want a recount. We don't want some of the problems that we have seen happen in the past. I mean, think of Florida even. I mean, I'm thinking of things that have happened recently. 2018. Who was the winner? Rick Scott. But he repeatedly claimed that his opponent was trying to steal the election through fraud. Then that was amplified, and so state law enforcement officials were forced to weigh in to dispute claims of criminal activity. And, boy, we don't want to see that. A smooth and fair election is the best way to go. Whether we're talking about first-time voters, like my nephew who gets to vote for the first time and can't wait, and people that have voted for a very long time. People who go year in, year out, no matter what, locally, whatever the issues are, and certainly in presidential elections. I would love it if we busted way over that 30 to 40%. If we could say, how about it, America? I mean, you're over 50%, are you kidding, of eligible voters? Which it seems as though it should already be happening, but it's not happening. Maybe this will be the year that more people will dive on top of it and seize the opportunity. Find the easy way to get registered if you're not. All right, dance me off for this segment, and I'll meet you in the next one. I promise.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump told a North Carolina rally that he intends to nominate a woman to succeed Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died Friday at the age of 87 after a battle with pancreatic cancer.
We said that if for any reason We have a vacancy on the United States Supreme Court. We will fill that vacancy. And by the way, we have plenty of time. There's a lot of time. Yeah. So we will uphold equal justice under the law for citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. I will be putting forth a nominee next week. It will be a woman.
Two names have come to the forefront, Judges Amy Coney Barrett in Chicago and Barbara Lagoa in Atlanta. Barrett is a conservative pro-life Roman Catholic who clerked for the late Justice Antonin Scalia after she graduated from law school. This is USA Radio News. Federal officials intercepted an envelope addressed to the White House that contained the poison ricin, according to law enforcement officials. The letter was intercepted at a government facility that screens mail addressed to the White House and President Donald Trump. A preliminary investigation indicated it tested positive for the poison found naturally in castor beans. Federal investigators are working to determine where the envelope originated and who mailed it. The FBI, the Secret Service, and the U.S. Postal Inspection Service are leading that investigation. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now says close contacts of people with COVID-19 should be tested regardless of whether they have symptoms, reversing their controversial recommendations reportedly over the advice of agency scientists. CDC's testing guidelines now bluntly counsel people who have been within 6 feet of a person with documented infection for at least 15 minutes to get screened immediately. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
All right, everybody knows how I like a good tale. How about a tale times three, a trilogy? When you can't get enough of the first book, you want a second one, and oh yeah, you get a third one, and then we're going to beg him to write another one or another story. So Bevan Knight is a retired librarian. He lives in Wellington, New Zealand. Oh, how I want to go to New Zealand. I can't tell you. And his wife, Naomi, is wonderful and has had such an amazing influence on these books. And the one that we're talking about is The Wishing Tree. The Wishing Tree is his first novel, and it's the first of this planned trilogy when he went into this. So welcome. Thank you both so much for joining me on the show. And the question is, Bevan, I'll start with you. What made you write the first book? What made you decide to come up with this? How did this happen?
Well, it happened because I read somewhere, and I don't quite remember where, but that there was a little village in Hong Kong where there was a wishing tree, and where it proved so popular that people were throwing their paper wishes all over the tree. It wasn't good for the tree. It was a real burden on the tree. It was blocking the light. And so the locals had to build racks on which to put people could put their wishes in future and protect the tree, because the tree was a real draw card for the village. So that's great. That was my starting point. It got me thinking about wishes as a burden. I started thinking of that more in terms of people. How could wishes be a burden? Well, then I realized that we, in fact, are imaginative people. We can think ahead. We can think of things that We don't have. In fact, the commercial world encourages us to do that all the time. It drives us along. So, but along with wish, along with desire, there is the possibility of anxiety, even fear. Things may not work out as we want. We set our minds on a particular target, it doesn't work out, perhaps, or there is some anxiety about whether it will or not. And that is, I think, why we have a burden with our wishes. So really, that's how it got started. It started initially just as a short story, because I've been writing short stories as a break from my logical brain work that I was doing. And then I found that grew, really. It was a very easy book to write, I have to say. It just about wrote itself when I got going, when I got the characters into it. So really, that was it. That's how it started.
What about synchronicity in our lives? You know, a lot of things were coming together, weren't they?
Yes, I think they are, and they do. And you, Kate, you were another bit of synchronicity, I think, in this respect, because we've just had Fiverr installed. I've just set up a website for myself. So, yeah, things are starting.
The synchronicity, I love that Naomi threw that in there. There is something to that. And your book takes science fiction and fantasy, and you weave it into the tale. So I love that you gave the background of thinking about wishes, and that we have these ideas in our heads about wishes and will they come true, and oh, what if we could only find a sorcerer or a genie or someone to help us? And you're interesting. In this book, you take us on this quest that takes us through a lot of adventures. And you said this book practically wrote itself. So I have to believe that absolutely you are somebody who likes science fiction, who likes fantasy. And of course, I mentioned what your occupation was. You like books. So telling a tale and sitting down and writing it, how did you know that this was the direction you wanted to take? Did it just kind of grab you as the story unfolded?
I think it really did. It just went like that. I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. I think a lot of writers are like this. They write and they're not quite sure how things are going to work out even. But they set the conditions, and the conditions will determine how things work out in the end. Whether you've got fantasy or actually fantasy is one of the hardest things, because you've got to set rules for it and you've got to imply them, get them to the reader. Whereas if you're writing about the real world, then everyone knows what the rules are. So that's an added problem with fantasy. When you've got science fiction, it's a little different as well. It gets quite entangled. But so what I had to do was steer away through having those two things. And I did this by having this alien species who see the world. They're on a scientific expedition, and they're visiting this planet. The second planet they visit is planet Earth. A little way into the future, and the third planet is another one, which is which I won't go into now. That would take too long. But so this first, what they have to do is what I had to do rather is show that they are seeing the world in a completely different way from the inhabitants of the planet itself, that the alien species see the world in a completely different way. So that's really how it worked for me.
If we were sitting next to each other on a plane or at a cafe and we started talking and you mentioned to me that you were a writer and you told me about your book, what would you tell all the people that are listening? What is the story about? What's the story about?
Okay, what's the story about? It's,
you need to fly.
The main thing it's about, the critical point, which is right at the beginning, is a sorcerer's apprentice locks a demon-like creature into a rather special tree, a very powerful tree on this planet. The tree itself has its own powers. It attracts people, and it attracts animals, anything. It has sends out scents or something or other, special waves or something to attract creatures to it. And it has a rather gruesome approach because it will use their bodies to feed itself. But when you put this demonic spirit in it as well, it becomes rather terrible. And what then has to happen is that the people on the planet find that this tree spirit entity is harming their life cycle, their culture, how they can manage how they manage their lives
and their relationships,
so they set out on an expedition to try and find the source of the problem and deal with it. But the demonic creature has such terrible powers that that proves a very hazardous undertaking. So the story is mainly about the different characters who set out on this expedition and what happens to them, how they cope or don't cope. I don't know how much I should say without giving things away for people who want to read it, but I think it is sufficiently unexpected, the things that happen to make it.
I think that's a perfect description. I think you nailed it right there. Stop. You nailed it. You told us exactly what the story is about. So what do you hope the impact is of your books, of the trilogy? So this book, The Wishing Tree, which you can get on Amazon, or, you know, the future books too. What do you hope your impact is on a reader?
Well, I hope primarily that they will enjoy, that they will be entertained, and amused, and they will have a few laughs as it goes along, and perhaps a bit of excitement, suspended disbelief. If they go with that, that should be quite a thing for them. It will also
something on your bucket list. Hopefully it's something on your bucket list.
Well, obviously, I'm doing that as well. I'm fulfilling. It's something I kind of meant to do. Well, I realized it's something I wanted to do.
He's talked about it as long as I've known him, Kate.
Ah, so there you go. For all the listeners, they just heard Naomi said this is something he's talked about his whole life, and you did it. So congratulations. I said to you before the interview, a lot of people never even get to that point. I think the book is wonderful. I think it takes you to all kinds of different places. I'm thinking the girl who wanted the moon and some of the other really great character chapters, etc. And we don't want to give too much away, but you will get lost in this story, and it's a perfect time to read it, and you can get it on Amazon. And the Knights are a wonderful couple, and thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Go!
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
All right, you're going to love this. We are taking you right now to a pretty well-known library, and it's in Brisbane. We're going to Brisbane, and Carl Magnus joins us. And Carl Magnus has written such an interesting book. It's a book, I think, that it's not just for children. I think it takes you back. And the book is called Childhood Moments. Carl, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, no, that's great. It's fine. I've quite enjoyed it.
Tell me, what was it that made you decide you were going to write this book?
Well, it was just, I think it was just the coaxing from my cousin down the line that actually made me do it. She gave me the incentive. Otherwise, I think I probably would have just, you know. And I just said to her, why don't you do it? Because I also write poetry, and she writes poetry, and she's a bit of a hard shot, my cousin, second cousin.
Yeah. And so puts the bug in you to write that, and then does she help you along the way? Does she give you any advice?
No, she didn't actually. I just had to figure it all out myself.
And have you been have you been somebody that's always kind of fooled around with poetry and?
I used to do a lot of sketching and drawing, and I went right off it, and it was something my father used to do. He threw all this away, and I got to the point where I went right off drawing and I lost interest, and then I suddenly found I had another outlet, which was poetry.
And so you decided, hey, let's pull this all together, and I'm going to put it together, and I'm going to get it out there. Did it feel good to have it published?
Yeah, it did. I tried a couple of publishers in New Zealand and Auckland, but they were a bit picky about it and that. And
yeah.
I had another interest, which I acted in for an agent back in Auckland, Cam Talent, and they're doing, the Amazon crowd are doing a series on Lord of the Rings, but this pandemic has sort of put a halt for a while. But I was in one, Spartacus, some years ago, just as an extra. So I had a go at that sort of thing, which was good.
Spartacus? Oh, wait a second. You, we're in the middle of talking about your book and you throw that curveball at a Spartacus? I was such a big fan. What was it like being an extra in Spartacus?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was shown on American cable.
Yeah, I watched it from end to end.
Oh, I did. Well, I acted as I was just one of the mind slaves.
Nice.
And that.
And I'm trying to think who the main characters were. Wasn't Lucy Lawless in that?
Yeah, that's right. She's a New Zealand actress here.
Yeah. Oh, how fun. So that's interesting. You've had such an interesting background. Tell us more about your background. You can't just leave us hanging like that.
Oh, well, I'm never married. I'm single. And I came across to Brisbane. I spent 4 years working over here in Brisbane. And then I've been home to Auckland and spent 10 years back in Auckland. And I had a brother who sailed around the world, and he landed up, I'm getting his green card and living in the States. I've got three cousins in the States, one in Tennessee and one in Florida and the other one in California.
Yeah.
I did basically a lot of outdoor work back home in Auckland, and I worked for a fundraising company in Brisbane for about 4 years and worked at the races and sort of did all sorts of things. I've never really had a job where I've sat in an office, but I seem to spend a lot of time going down to the libraries and that sort of stuff. And I was very sport minded. I played a lot of sport back home, a lot of hockey, and was in a tramping club, and which is a bit hard to do over here in Brisbane.
And it's funny you say that because, and for everybody listening all over the world, we're talking to Coral Magnus, and he is in Brisbane, and you are and they can hear, I'm sure, the chatter in the background, which I think is really cool, because you are in the middle of a library, and it's a pretty well-known one, isn't it?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think it is pretty well known, yeah. It covers a lot of books, and it's frequent quite frequently, but with the virus, this pandemic, we've sort of had to social distancing, and they can't have newspapers, so nobody can come in and sit down and read the Brisbane Times or the Courier Mail, which is a bit of a bugger for a lot of people, the elderly people. But, they've got computers in here you can use, besides your own. But they're a nice, friendly crowd in here. They're a nice lot of good staff and everything. They're very helpful.
What do you hope people take away from reading your book? I mean, it's worth coming back to that. If somebody says, wow, he's interesting, I want to read the book, what do you hope they take away?
Oh, I suppose stories they can relate to their children or share with their children, and just give them some ideas, perhaps to think about their childhood, the memories they have of their childhood, the memories in their own childhood, and just the fact that's something for kids to read. Because when I left New Zealand, I gave one of the books to the Children's Hospital in Auckland, Starship Hospital.
So tell us about one of your childhood moments. Give us one of your good childhood moments.
Oh, I think one of them, because I come from a boating family, was the weekends away we go away in the boat, and the fun we had in a tractor tyre that my father had blown up and converted into sort of a floating sort of a dinghy type thing, and we all, with my four brothers and my sister, we all had a lot of fun in that. And we used to fight over who was going to row the dinghy and all that sort of stuff. And just sort of being a bit amused by my two younger brothers, Brent and Eric, Brent and Owen, and the way they used to run across the boat, dive over the side and swim under the boat and get back on the deck and run across. And the father would say, oh, well, they'll sleep well tonight. And that, and one favourite spot we used to go and camp at, Browns Island, it's called, and we used to enjoy that. We used to have it quite often, frequently had it quite a lot of times to ourselves, you know, and then we'd get quite a few boats going. And then another famous island out in the Auckland is Waiheke Island, which is world renowned for its wine that they produce, and it's a beautiful island, and I've got a surviving auntie on it, and a lot of times I've pop down there. I've got a brother who's over there at the moment. And on in the batch he has. And it's got a lot of beautiful beaches. And it's just a lovely island, but a very expensive island to live on, I'm afraid. I'm afraid at the moment.
I bet. And again, we're speaking to Coral Magnus, and he is in the middle of an extraordinary library in the middle of Brisbane. And we're talking about his book and why he wrote the book and one of his best memories. And it makes me think of all of you out there listening. Think about this for a minute. Close your eyes and think of one of those childhood moments. Do you have a moment that in your life that really you think about with your family, just like Coral has put this book together and, in fact, did the drawings for the book, too, as well. So that drawing part, has that always been something that that artist side of you has always been there?
Yeah, well, my father was, apparently, from what I've heard, he was very good at it, but he never kept any of his work, any of his drawings or sketches, because he grew up in the South Island. My mother went to the North Island, but as I say, I never saw any of his drawings, so I've only just got to go on what I've heard.
You heard they were pretty good, and so you took a crack at it yourself with the,
yeah, I think
with
so.
The book.
Yeah, I did. I thought, well, I'll do the stories and I'll just do the sketches.
Neat. And they're incredible, actually. I've seen it, obviously, and looked at it, and very well done. Bravo on your part. For everybody also that's listening to us around the world in the United States, you said it, you mentioned it, the pandemic. What has that been like in Brisbane for you?
It's been something you sort of got used to now. I mean, it's pretty annoying. I mean, they're having a bit of a tiff over border fights between New South Wales and Queensland. The Premier up here has been very adamant that she's not going to open the borders and she wants to keep Queenslanders safe. And at the moment, they've got state elections in each state coming up, so it'll be interesting. But people are adjusting to it okay, and they're getting around it and just getting used to having to stay at home or just use the old computer and your phone to ring up your friends and that sort of thing. I play a bit of batonk as well, a Wednesday and a Saturday, and we have a lot of fun with that. And we've learned how to, we just social distance and that. But I think it's generally, things are pretty quiet in that, like there's no mad rush to go crazy. Like in this respect, it means that whatever state you're in, you've just got to spend your, if you want to break out of your suburb, just get on the camper van and go and just tour around Queensland or tour around New South Wales or whatever. Spend your money there and help the local economy.
Yeah, and that's such an important thing. I'm so glad you said that, to help the local economy and however you can. And you mentioned social distancing and it's just getting around. It's been a wild time for everybody. So it's a perfect time to read your book, Childhood Moments. And again, Coral Magnus, thank you so much for taking the time right there in the middle of this giant library to have a conversation with us.
Oh, no, that was fun. I enjoyed that, yeah. And as I say, one of the library assistants out here, it was interesting how she guided me through it.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.